You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
With monetary policy still evolving, economic growth uncertain, and inflationary pressures remaining a concern, the fixed income landscape remains complex. Meanwhile, President Trump's second term could impact fixed income because some of his policy could be inflationary. This evolving environment marked by central bank actions, interest rate cuts, and economic uncertainty presents a compelling case for active asset management, particularly within fixed income. But we need to look at where the opportunities lie and where should investors tread carefully. With me is Malcolm Charles, portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. We've got to have a look at two countries, Malcolm, when it comes to interest rates and inflation. The US, obviously, but also South Africa. Can we start with the US? Because there's a backdrop of global risks, Russia, Ukraine, Middle East, trade wars, China, and of course, President Trump. So maybe you could give us a view on inflation and interest rates in the United States.
Yeah, Lindsay, it's actually quite interesting because it's almost a tale of two countries where, you know, 6 months ago, everyone expected aggressive rate cuts across the globe, and South Africa would obviously then follow suit with those. And they've been a lot more muted. So in the US, we've probably had our cuts. The market has now priced out. Jay Powell himself last week said, you know, he will need one of two things. So either the job market has to weaken dramatically, or inflation has to come down quite dramatically for him to even consider another rate cut. So from expecting, you know, possibly another two cuts a couple of months ago, I think we're going to flatline in the US for the next couple of quarters. South Africa, on the other hand, is an interesting story because our inflation is completely under control. So we're at the bottom of our range of the target band. No pressure whatsoever. The new weights of inflation came in, and it actually looks very, very under control. But having said that, you know, the governor is being a bit cautious, quite rightly so, with the volatility of the rand that Geopol brings. And, you know, same thing. I think our rate cut, I think we've got one more left this year, but, you know, not at the next meeting. I think we're going to pause for a meeting or two. And if we see some stability on the currency, I think the SARB will be very happy to cut, you know, closer to the middle of the year or early in the third quarter.
Yes, he has a reputation for being cautious. And as you quite rightly said, it's appropriate that Lesetja Kanyaga has been cautious over the years. What about growth? I think I've asked this question probably 150 times since I've been a broadcaster. How do we get growth going in South Africa?
Well, the interesting you ask is that the outlook is probably the best it's been for 7-8 years. We've had some reforms. We've largely fixed Eskom. We're moving quite positively on Transnet. Over the holidays there was proper action from the minister and making leeway for private companies to hire the locomotives and to run the lines. And, you know, the whole, you know, fear factor of government doing that has disappeared. And I think we should see a decent pickup in, you know, sort of movement of stock on those lines, which, you know, we need to get our minerals to the ports and we need to get them out. So that's looking positive. SANRAL themselves have allocated 53 billion rand in the last year of tenders to our roads and everything like that. So there is movement in infrastructure for the first time in many, many years. The general confidence on the GNU is still okay and it's improving. It obviously, as with all things in South Africa, it could be going a bit faster and a bit more, stronger, but it is moving in the right direction. And the forecast for growth this year, we're talking 1.7 to 2%, the World Bank put out last week. So, you know, we're still shy of the 3%, but from where we were bobbing around 0.5% for many, many years, 2% growth would be very welcome.
I sense optimism in your tone and your analysis, Malcolm. Do you share that optimism when it comes to your rand outlook? Because it popped above 19 to the US dollar when Mr. Trump made some noises towards South Africa, and those noises have since been signed into executive order. But what about the rand? Because it's behaving itself.
Yeah, it's actually surprised. You know, it seems to be it sells off on a Monday after an executive order or a tweet. We had a complete wobble last Monday, got it, as you say, around 19, finished the week at 1840-odd. This week, in early morning trade this morning, it spiked a little bit, but, once again, coming back again.
Mm.
I think, positioning is a little bit on our side. Terms of trade are okay. Gold price and everything like that looking good. So, the fundamentals for the rand are there, but we mustn't forget that we are in a very uncertain world. As you mentioned, your preamble with Russia, Ukraine, still at war, the Middle East uncertainty, and President Trump, signing quite a few executive orders affecting a lot of our trading partners, and a lot of, sort of friendly nations in Europe and everything like that, which, no one quite knows how to price that into risk. I mean, you do know that the rand is a risk asset, but for now behaving very, very well, to be quite honest, considering everything that's thrown at it.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I don't want to politicize this chat too much, but on Air Force One last night on his way to the Super Bowl, he came up with tit-for-tat tariffs on aluminium, steel, and a few other things. So for every country that sends steel to the United States of America, 25%. But anyway, that's an aside. We've had the State of the Nation address. What about the upcoming budget speech on 19th of February? Probably more important.
Yeah, no, very, very much more important. I mean, the State of the Nation had a lot of wonderful things in them. But, as with all of it, it's a lot of we will as opposed to we have done. And I think that's the sort of focus that needs to change in the GNU, whereas the budget has been we have done. And I keep reminding everyone, even last year we had a primary surplus ahead of elections. We had consolidation of debt. We had consolidation of expenditure and actually cutting of expenditure. So Enoch Godwin doing a very, very good job there. He remains, like the governor, conservative, trying to fix and do what is right for South Africa. And I think the budget next week is going to be more of the same, consolidating debt. The tax numbers are, from what we estimate, slightly better than he had in the November mini-budget. Not that he can have huge wriggle room, but I think there's a good chance that we see further consolidation in our debt numbers, which will be welcomed by the bond market.
This is where I'm the most interested in this podcast now, Malcolm, and that's your views and positioning, with specific reference, if you would, to the Diversified Income Fund at 91. How are you positioned?
Yeah, so that is an interesting one, because looking at our budget, looking at our inflation, looking at interest rates in South Africa, one would expect that you've got a lot of risk in the portfolio. Whereas actual fact at the moment, we're quite defensive. We've reduced duration in the portfolio. We've increased our FX exposure because we are a little bit nervous about Sunday tweets and executive orders that spike the currency. And we just think, the protection in the portfolio probably for the next month or two is the order of the day. And if you look 6 months to 12 months out, your yield on the portfolio is in excess of 10%. SA government bonds are giving you around 11%. So it's an attractive asset class in the medium to long term. But we just think, being a little bit more conservative now, a little bit protecting of the capital and the portfolio while we have this barrage of tariffs and executive orders where the market tries to digest it is probably the right way to handle it. And then as we get into the second quarter, we think some of the turbulence would have dissipated. And then be in a much better position in the portfolio. And, funny enough, it feels very much like last year. Started the year, a lot of fear, a lot of angst. And then, end of the year, the bonds gave you 17-odd% return. So, I don't think it'll be as juicy this year, but there's no reason why, we can't earn the yield in the bond market, over the year. But as I said, it'll be more middle of the year to the end of the year that most of it comes through.
You extol the virtues of active asset management. Just how active are you, Malcolm, briefly?
Yeah, so we've been a little bit more active this year than we have been probably for the last 18 months. There was more of a trend in market at that time. Whereas we learned from the first Trump administration, it is a up and down market. So you don't typically get out of the range. So it's quite range bound. So you want to buy every time there's a little bit of a panic. And then as the market calms down, digests the news, you're happy to sell it a little bit. So we've been active on the duration. We've been quite active on the on our property allocation, and then on our FX allocation as well. We're happy to be a little bit more active than we normally are. But you know, within the bounds of the way that we have run this portfolio in the previous sort of Trump era.
What about overweight and underweight? Can you summarize those positions, please?
So, as I said, duration, we underweight. We're just over 1 year, very defensive in the very short end of the curve because we like to be where the Reserve Bank is focusing. We think that that's where the value is. Listed property had a terrible start to the year, and we've just added a little bit there. So we're probably a little bit overweight in listed property, just taking advantage of that sharp sell-off. And then FX, we're probably neutral to slightly long US dollars, just protecting the portfolio from any craziness. But as I said, no, the yield is still over 10%, very attractive in a world where cash is now at 7.5%. So pretty decent pickup from a yield perspective.
This is an unfair question. That's my final question, and I won't hold you to it. Just give us a general outlook for the returns that you might be expecting over the next 12 months.
Yeah, so I think at least the yield of the portfolio should be achievable, but I think with the nature, the active nature of sort of the market conditions, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that we can add a little bit of extra capital to the portfolio.
Very good. Malcolm, thank you very much for your time. Malcolm Charles is a portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.